As Christians, we must be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. And that statement is in our scripture today. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. You therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. At least 25 times, the Apostle Paul tells Timothy to be strong. Throughout the years, people have thought that probably Paul kept emphasizing, be strong, be strong, be strong, because Timothy was not really very strong. And so because of our thought about that, we have thought, well, he may have been rather timid, maybe rather shy. And so Paul just kept on encouraging, now you be strong, you be strong, you be strong. We do that sometimes with one another. If someone is weak and not very strong, we keep encouraging them to be strong. If they're already strong, maybe they don't need to be encouraged so much. So it's apparently, and I think probably true, that Timothy had to be reminded again and again. At least 25 times, Paul encourages him to be strong, to be strong. You know, we realize that we're in a battle. We're really on a battlefield. And we had our veterans to stand a while ago because you all are veterans of military service. But in a very real sense, all of us as believers in Christ are veterans because we're in the army of the Lord. Now that's biblical, that's scriptural. We're in the Lord's army. As little children, we used to sing that, didn't we? I'm going to be in the Lord's army. I will march with the cavalry. And all we could sing that song that we learned as a child. Some people in some denominations of Christians rather don't want us to sing about onward Christian soldiers anymore. And so they have taken what they call those militaristic hymns out of their hymn books. Well, that's whatever they want to do about that. But I feel like that it's going overboard and stressing a point that doesn't need to be made, because in the Bible, we're taught that we are in a war. We're in a warfare. We need to be strong in the Lord. We need to endure hardness as a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we all believe that that is true. So in verse 1, he says to Timothy, Paul does, he says, my son, he calls him his son. He's not literally his son, but he's his son in the faith. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. In the grace. Now we're all recipients of the grace of God. Without his grace, I am nothing. Without his grace, none of us are anything. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any should boast. Tomorrow night I'm going to be preaching at Crossroads. It's over, go through Horatio and down in the country there on the highway. Brother Larry Sherman's preaching this morning for them. They're having a revival meeting, and they couldn't decide on one preacher, so they just had a whole bunch. So Brother Larry Sherman, that's just retired from Ridgeway, he's preaching this morning. Then tonight, Brother Don Jones is going to be preaching tonight. Then they asked me to preach tomorrow night, which I'm going to do. And then Tuesday night, Brother Butch Riddle from Ashdown is going to be preaching. And then I kind of forgot who the next one is. It's going to conclude on Wednesday. Anyway, a different preacher each time. And tomorrow night, I know one thing that I'm going to be preaching about is God of grace, about the grace of God. I told Anna, she said, what are you going to preach about Monday night? And I said, I'm going to emphasize, if I had just one message that I'd go everywhere around the country preaching, it would be the one I'm going to preach tomorrow night. I've preached it here. I've preached it several places. But it's the fact that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The whole world needs to know that God loves them. I mean, people all over this world, military men and women, those who are not, needs to know the grace of God is most important. So he says to Paul, be strong in grace. You see, we're not on probation as believers. It's not as though God hasn't made up his mind about us yet. We're not on probation. God loves you just as you are, not as you ought to be, because he knows you won't ever be as you ought to be until one day you get to heaven, and then you'll be as you ought to be because you'll be perfect. So if he's going to wait until you do good and get strong and get better to love you, he won't ever do it because you won't ever be in that condition. He loves us. He loves you. He loves you. He loves me. And we need to know that. So he says, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. In verse 2 he says, and the things which you have heard from me among many witnesses, the same commit unto faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. That's what the whole job of a preacher or a teacher is. Even of a parent, we're trying to teach our children the things that we have been taught, whether about God or about life, we're trying to teach. And he says, commit to faithful men. I like that word, faithful. He doesn't say, commit it to smart men, rich men, famous men. What does he say? Commit to faithful men. And that's more important than all those other categories at all. We are to be faithful. And that's the one thing that he expects from me and from you, is that we are to be faithful. So in verse 3 he says, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I've been thinking about some of the qualities of a soldier. I don't know if I had a testimony from you veterans today. Y'all might you get up here and tell us all about your experience in the military service. And some of y'all might have had real good experiences. I don't know your stories. I wish I did. I wish we could have every one of you to tell us about that. What'd you do in the war, Daddy? What did you do in the service? Did you like it? Did you feel like you did a good job? Were you proud? Do you look back upon what you did with honor and pride? And when you share with others, you say, I'm glad to be an American. I'm glad to have served. And probably all of you, as far as I know, probably were like that. And you make us proud. Since 1776, 48 million Americans have served in the armed services. That's a whole bunch since 1776. And I've been thinking about some of the qualities of a good soldier. I'll list some of them. I've jotted down here for you. A soldier must be a person who is concentrated upon his service. A soldier is a soldier first and foremost. And that's drilled into you, isn't it? When you went through basic training and all of that, they were trying to get you to the place where you would obey no matter what. Whether it made sense or not, you obeyed. To obey is everything. You have a family. Some of you had a family. But the service came first. It always has to. It takes priority over everything else. And Paul makes mention of that when he writes to Timothy. In verse 4 he says, when you get in the army, you get in the navy, you get in the marines, you get in the service, you cannot entangle yourself with the affairs of this life. You have to concentrate upon what you're doing. Same thing is true of a football player on a football team. But we won't use that metaphor, will we? Although we could. Thursday night we won a game, didn't we? And we were so happy. I saw all those people from Murfreesboro yesterday. They said, well, one of us had to win, finally, to win a game. And I'm proud that we did. But we have to concentrate upon what we are doing. When you're called up in the military service, you leave behind that which you have been involved in before. You are conditioned to be obedient. Training is hard. And some do not make it. Some go for a little while and then they drop out because they cannot stand the rigors of learning how to be totally obedient. The hard task. And the Christian life is not easy either. Tonight I chose one of the songs for us to sing. Am I a soldier of the cross? A follower of the Lamb? Well, yes, we are. And one of the verses in that song says, must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease while others sought to win the prize and sail through stormy seas? We mentioned Sunday before last, I think, about all of those who have gone through difficult times as believers, as preachers, as prophets. Tony came up and afterwards he said, you talked about all those martyrs of the faith. He said, I guess you just take the whole book called Fox's Book of Martyrs and read through it and talk about that. Now, some of you may have never read that book. I would highly recommend it. It's been printed many, 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 many times. It's called Fox's Book of Martyrs. And it is one of the most thrilling, but it's also a sad book because it's stories of those who through the early years of the church gave their lives. That's why they're called martyrs. For Jesus Christ. The soldier is conditioned to obedience. And the soldier is conditioned to loyalty. Back in the war of 1914 and 1918, an officer said, you must not retire. You must hold on at all cost. And a soldier said to him, then that means we all must die. And the officer said, that's right. That's what it takes. Give me liberty or give me death. A soldier of the cross. At least five qualities of a good soldier are these. A soldier must be a follower. And we are disciples of Christ. And the word disciple means a follower, a learner, and we are following Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, if you will follow me, you're going to have to take up your cross and follow me. That doesn't really sound like a fun-filled life, does it? It doesn't sound like a happy-go-lucky kind of life. It indicates that we need to follow in the way of Jesus, and there's a cross. And anytime you hear about a cross, I noticed that Trace Adkins was singing that song at the close about Arlington. And it was a story about a soldier that he's been brought back home and he's dead. And they gave him a little spot of land. Finally, he made it, he said, to Arlington, where they bury the heroes who have come back having been killed in action. And so it is. We are serving the Lord, and it is a hard, difficult task. We are to be faithful. We need to know the rules. We need to be a fighter, determined. And we need to be those who will finish the course and finish the fight. Gary told me a while ago, I guess that's all right for me to tell that. Gary was telling me back yonder, Gary Dinger, about he had an uncle that in Vietnam who decided to re-up and go back to Vietnam so that two of his, brothers would not have to go. I thought, that's a beautiful story. Some of y'all may know that story, but I didn't. But I thought, here's an uncle who, to save a couple of brothers to have to go, said, I will do it instead. That touched my heart. I thought, boy, I wish I would have been like that. I hope I would be like that, willing to give myself that others might live. Now, it says in the Bible, greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. And we've got people all over this world today who are in that position. They're willing to lay down their lives, to give their lives in sacrifice, and they would gladly do that. We've been hearing a lot these days about the soldiers coming back from the battlefield, and they have all kinds of hang-ups, mentally, physical problems, but a lot of it's just a mental thing, isn't it? What do they call that syndrome? PTSD. And there are hundreds, maybe thousands of men and women. They're over there in the service and they're with their friends, their buddies, the ones that they are with all of the time. Their whole life is centered in that area. And then when they come back home, it's a totally different story. They come back home and don't know what to do with themselves. That's understandable. And many of them are in counseling these days, trying to gain help so that suicide is one of the big things among many of them, but also abuse of their wives or their children, a divorce and all of that sort of thing that they go through as a result of just coming back into normal civilian life and not being able to cope with it. Well, we understand that. It's a difficult life, and we honor our veterans today. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You know, on Veterans Day, I guess we always think about the greatest show of love and devotion of all. That's Jesus Christ. He came from heaven down to this earth on a mission. the Father sent him down to this world. Apparently Jesus didn't argue, but he came. It won't be long till we be celebrating Christmas, will it? And at Christmas time, we're recognizing the fact that Jesus came from the Father in heaven down to this world on a mission to save the world. And he did that. And he came, and the Bible says that he came and gave his life willingly. That's one of the words that is used. He gave his life willingly. And he went to the cross to pay the price for our sins, your sins and mine, for the sins of the world. The greatest act of love in the whole world was Christ coming and going to the cross. Aren't we thankful today that he is our Savior and our Lord? I just pray that if God is speaking to your heart, and it may be on this Veterans Day, if you're not a Christian, that you might be saved today. What a wonderful thing that would be. If you're not a Christian, if you're not saved, invite Jesus to come into your heart, and he'll come into your heart. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, dear Lord, we ask you to help us, not only as a nation, but as individual Christians. Help us, dear Lord, to be what you want us to be and do what you want us to do. Lord, there are so many needs that we have. I pray, dear Lord, if there are any here who are not saved, that they'll be saved today during this service before we go home. They'll invite you into their life. If someone needs to join the church and has a desire to be a member of this congregation, I pray they'll let us know that. It may be that some are feeling called to be missionaries or preachers. I pray that they'll do and surrender their life to doing what you call them to do. Now, Lord, we pray that just as we are, you would have your way in our life. Help us to do your will and follow your Spirit's leading. In Jesus' name, amen.